The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Sound you hear on the show may appear louder than they actually are in my person. I didn't want to end an R, what can I tell you? What can I tell you? Can tell you what? The Bard of Broadcasting welcomes you. Y2K, what? 14. The last of September for us on a Thursday. wake up, it's night, and it's autumn, and nights are coming even earlier than they usually do. Neo-postmodernists, you sunburned sickle men of September weary, make holiday! You think it's getting late? It's later than you think. Philosophical entertainment, relevant, irreverence, Netarazzi, couple surfers, netaholics, and infomaniacs. Open up your ears, both of them. Here we go again. Chronicling. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. It's me, Frank Atoll, the man whose name adorns the title of this show, A Chronicling. We will go on this last show of September, because it's the last Thursday of September. We had four marvelous Thursdays. I think we're going to have five marvelous October Thursdays, with plenty of other things happening. Not just this thing. You know, we're sticking with the things that we do that no one else does on any kind of broadcast. Absolutely true. We dare you. We dare you to do a study, to wake up early in the morning, have a good breakfast, and then go out there and start listening to radio, to internet radio, to streaming, to YouTube shows. Go out there. Find something like this. Won't happen. And I've just been notified that on this particular day, we are close to our 10th anniversary of this show on SRN Media Works. And we didn't start here. We started over at Ampcast.com. So, wow. And that's so. And I believe, I don't know, I haven't read this on the Yahoo News. I haven't read it on Google News. I haven't read it on the morning news or the afternoon news or the evening news. But I think it's some kind of record. Don't you? 10 years every Thursday, through thick and through thin, through the most incredible times of a man could have, or a woman could have, any person could have, even a pet, in one lifetime. I have been here every Thursday night, and that's why I'm here to say good night, everybody. Goodbye. No, I'm still here. I'm still here like the Incredible Shrinking Man. You get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. You think you're going to disappear, and you don't. 10 years. And anything that I have done that allowed this to happen, I owe it all to SRN. And, of course, a couple of weeks ago, Mr. Jim Waskowitz, who started this whole damn thing back at Amcast.com. Thank you very much, all of you, for, to Jim, for dragging me out of the doldrums of not doing any kind of radio into this brand new theater of alternative broadcasting. And you know what? As I told you this a long time ago, and I think it's probably true now, too, no matter what happens, okay? It'll be very, 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 why do we say very? Very, one very's enough, okay? It'll be very much after my demise when people will look back and say, even that guy who started, what was his name? And that's why I tell you, keep these shows, tape them, put them on CDs and stuff, and maybe a time capsule. We've talked about that too, haven't we? Haven't we? Get yourself a notebook. And you know what? I don't care anymore what kind of notebook it is, even though I use Meads, because those Mead people, how do you like them apples? I don't want to go into that. I don't want to go into any of that. I want to stay on the subject. On this subject that we're going to do. Because, you know, we do a lot of pop culture stuff. We do a lot of stuff about movies and writing and everything that goes on. But before we do that, I want to mention something, and I don't even have the facts, but, and I don't usually go into current events. But, this weird thing that's happening, I think it's in Colorado. I just have to make this statement. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. But, there's something going on. I didn't know what it was all about, but they were squawking about it. My good friend John Matthews And then the whole conservative group of crew over there, right? It's like, where are they? They're over there. They're not here. I'm here. And they wouldn't be here if I'm here. They're over there. Over there. Did you hear that Brooklyn stuff going on? The stuff about censoring, teaching history in, I think it was Colorado, or was it, you know what, doesn't matter what state we're talking about. The idea that somebody had to teach history and only teach the positive side of history and only show the things that make American history, I guess it was American history, not just world history. You can't possibly teach world history without showing the bad side, because what good sides might there be? You know, the wheel, that's it. Finding the wheel, they don't even know when that happened. And what country takes credit for the wheel, I ask you? We don't know. But the stuff that they want, and the kids, God bless these kids, Buddha bless these kids, the fates and the lucky stars, or whatever you believe, these kids, bless these kids. They all go out and they go, what are you, nuts? Are you teachers drunk? It's the world in the new millennium. This is critical thinking world. This is not the world of, what are they called? This is not the Flat Earther Society. Is it Earthers? Flat Earth. In the end, the Earth. Wait. I lost my... See, my saloon doors in my brain already going, flipping back and forth. A singer came to mind when I saw the Eartha Kitt. Eartha Kitt. The good Eartha Kitt. Good Earth. The good Earth. This is the age of critical thinking, and it's always been around, but I'm not going to get a whole great show on that once. Let me find this little pamphlet. It must still be here. Here's this little pamphlet. I just want to mention everybody that, see, maybe this is still available, the Foundation for Critical Thinking. I'm not giving them an ad here, but I want, you know, these kids are out there and they are screaming and yelling, saying, don't censor our history. You know, I remember the things that I was told when I was in school, and this is the way they want to go back to this, where they only tell you and teach you these things that are positive. And, you know, I don't know if like 3/4 of them are true. You know, this garbage that goes on. Well, that's all gone today. And the digital revolution is taking care of looking into every nook and cranny of every occurrence. And, of course, we have people who make great history, like the documentary, the Roosevelt and Intimate History. You couldn't have said all those things. Nobody even knew those things. You watch that and you go, how did this stuff? Because there was, how did it happen? That's true history. The good, the bad, both sides, all sides. There aren't just two sides. There's not just good and bad. There's the whole picture. Critical thinking, concepts, and tools. Go to the Foundation for Critical Thinking. It's at, you guessed it, criticalthinking.org. Not .com. .org. And you can get this pamphlet. I don't know if you, I guess you can. I don't even know if you could buy it or, where is it? It's in Dillon Beach, California. Wonderful little pamphlet. They just don't make little chapbooks like this anymore. I'm gonna, this isn't a chapbook. It's called something else. It's a little book. And this is a kid. This is worth, oh my goodness. This is, you should have Dr. Karen Wyatt on again and talk about this. You know, and talk about that what's going on out there. Censoring history? So, I mean, what? George Washington chopped down the cherry tree? I cannot tell a lie, but I'll make you believe these are my real teeth and I'll rake, what the heck? I don't know what they want to do. I haven't read the curriculum, but I know I'm on the side of the kids, okay? And I don't want them to paint or color the history so that it appears we should be more patriotic or we should be less critical. Because then that's what they do. And I'm not going to stand here, and I'm not even standing, I'm sitting, and I'm not going to say to you, and if you've listened to me over the years, more than 10 on SRN and all the other great stations that carry me, and some of them, Steve, aren't even here. I've outlived some of the stations. The show has outlived. Well, I have too, but, you know. But I want everybody to understand that, okay? And if you don't want to, you don't want to. But, you know, I don't think I have to. There's a funny thing about this is anyone who listens to this show and is listening right now knows this stuff. I doubt if anybody, well, there are people who would listen now and then, and they'd go, that guy's nuts, and he doesn't realize that I'm the thing, what they're trying to do. I don't know. I just, you know what I'm saying? I just had to say that. We're thinking critically. We're thinking through it all. Those days are over. It's done. And kaput. I should have gotten the guy with the dead parrot, the Monty Python. Terminated! Deceased! No longer of this earth! My name is Frank Cotolo. My man's name adorns the title of the show, Cotolo Chronicles. What's coming up in the October versions? I should say episodes, not versions, of this. This chronicling of time in pop culture and the world and whatever it is we do. Miss Heather Drain is coming back. Yeah, Miss Heather Drain is coming back. And she always has fascinating stuff to talk about in terms of the underground of movies. And we're going to be talking about some of that when we talk about Hollywood and some things that are happening that are very dangerous. Very dangerous. Well, not dangerous, but, you know, dangerous. Your world of pop culture doesn't have to shrink. This is another thing, too. Remember, you are given, even though the Hollywood, the TV, newspapers, everybody does surveys to find demographics, what people want, you know, but when they give the public what they think the public wants or what the public wants in the majority of the public wants, when they do that, not only do they leave out the minority, but there's little room for the minority to get what they want. And the minority has to be served also. And that's where you find different markets and different products for limited audiences. I should know about that. I'm one of them. Thank you. Thank you and good night, everyone. And so there's things happening in the dollar. It's always been about the dollars anyway, regardless of what you think and regardless of your own generation. And those of you who have listened know how I feel about that. So those of you who haven't listened, you're just going to have to catch up as we move along here. My name is Frank Cotolo. My man's name is doing the title of the show. And we're here every Thursday. We want to tell you to go to all the great stations that carry this show through the week, through the weeks, from one to the next. You're listening, always listening, kind of live. As I was told a long time ago, you know, it's always live, even when I listen to it on, I put it on. You know, in the old days, listen to me, the old days, I'm talking about like 10 years of being here and already going through a number of incarnations on this show. Ooh, boy, we lost a lot of the early shows because they weren't, we didn't lose them. Well, we lost them. We never had them. We did them and that was it. We didn't record them. Some of them were recorded with various primitive means. Because we didn't have the technology we have today. But a lot of the shows are there and available. Now, I believe they're still putting up shows. We had some space problems over there, but we'll deal with it. And anybody who needs a certain show, boy, these are not cataloged well, I got to tell you. They're cataloged by date, and then you have to go back. And you could still do this. If you go to the CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, on the left, there's a number of years that are listed because we even started that blog even after the show. After the show? Yeah, the show began. So I don't know what was lost before that. But you see all those years. You can click those years and the various posts that we put up during those years are still there. You know how they always say, don't put anything on the internet because it stays there. I don't know if that's entirely true because who knows where some of this stuff goes and if you delete stuff and take, I don't know. But you can go up there and see what we did back in 2008, 2006. I don't know how far back it goes. I'm not looking at it right now. You can look at it later and get over there. But I brought that up because the show's there. You'll see who was on the show during the year. So those are all still up there. We used to do all of our blog stuff there, in fact, even all the funny stuff. That's all been farmed out now by me. And I'm the crew on the farm, by the way. That's why we have cotolo.tumblr.com. That's why we have ijdaily.blogspot.com. That's why we have 148.ca/Frank, which is officially my homepage now, where you get weekly essays. Brief, okay? Excuse me, I'm not one of those guys. I've never been one of those guys who gets on and then pontificates. Even when I did a gigantic series, I did a little bit at a time. And I'm not asking you to sit down for like, you know, even a half hour. And the slowest reader in the world will not spend a lot of time in his or her life reading the blogs. They're funny, they're good. They're good, they're funny, they're good and funny. They're good, and there's plenty of them every week. I also want to mention that I'm working on, and I think a lot of people know this, I'm working on with T. Stephen Gesick, and of course Peggy Robinson, his lovely wife. I don't think you'd say that like that, right? like it's just his wife, you know, it's just T. Stephen. It's like, come on, they're a team, they both do great stuff, we know that. Steph and Peg. Peg and Steph. I imagine Peg always came first, actually, because I knew Peg first. But anyway, you know, we're doing more Molotov memoirs, and we're going to tell you when this comes out. We're going to have ourselves our big on-the-air publication party. It's going to be available on Amazon. Blurb is fine, but it's I don't know what goes on over there, and, you know, we could have gotten a better... I don't know. I just don't know. We're going to go to Amazon. More people can... have the platform. I think it's Kindle. And you know, as well as I do, that whatever format they tell you, you could probably transfer it into another format. The fabulous thing about the internet that didn't happen when things like television and radio came about was that you could transfer things, because that was for killed a lot of industries, but and it's still killing them. It's murdering them. but I don't see if I care. And the thing is that we're going to do more Molotov memoirs, shortcut. Hey, 3M, and I know I'm not going to get sued, or they're not going to hear a thing from the 3M company. Hey, we see what you did there. As they tweet, hey, Twittering, are you Twittering? Twittering, tweetering? go if you have a Twitter account, at Daily Meds. DailyMedz at Daily Meds. Every day, a new and exciting. Some days not exciting, some days great. Some days they, you know, different things hit different people different ways. That's three difference, but it's true. It's like there's a show, I think it's on the Indie Channel, or maybe it's on, boy, there are so many new shows on these stations that I'd never heard. They'd like, not that used to just play like Indie Movie Channel, Indie Film Channel, IFC. Used to just be independent films. Now they got TV shows, they got talk shows, they got sitcoms, comedy shows. What did they have? So what was I getting at? I was getting at this. They have a show where they have a script. I don't know whether it's a, I don't think it's an entire movie or what have you. Two different directors do the same script, go out and shoot the same script, and you get two entirely different perspectives of this script. And you say, like, well, yeah, right. Hello, of course, Frank. Hello, Frank. That's, yes. Well, that's what I'm saying about. What was I saying that about? I was saying about formats, yeah. So they come up with one format, and you can transfer it into another format. Now that's a fascinating thing, because it's a great the thing with the two directors doing the same script coming up with two completely different products is also a fine example of neo-postmodernism, because, you know, when it channels through one person, it is. When an idea or a concept or a production channels through one person, it picks up all the nuances and all the influences and impressions, good and bad and ugly, or what have you, that single person has. Because we're all unique in that sense. Even though you go to Match, people go to Match, you go, I don't know, you and I don't think you go, I don't go, but you go to, people go to Match.com and they look for these things. I want someone who feels the same way. You know, even when two people feel the same way or like the same things, they could get into combat very easily with one another. What does that mean? That's the key. There's the key to a great relationship is, of course, knowing, feeling exactly the same way as another person. And, you know, because you share those feelings. Well, you know what? Sharing feelings that are the same. Sharing similar feelings is highly overrated. And it's certainly in a relationship. Now, if that were the case, all right? So it's always unique. If you tell a joke, even down to a joke, so another person tells a joke, same joke. It's unique. It comes out different. The cadence is different. The dynamics are different. It's always different. So you are, in essence, a conduit of all the things you've absorbed, the influences, good and bad, and by influences, and that alone, if I say influences, there's also, what does that branch into a million different places? Right? Because one to another, it says, wheels within wheels, as James Cagney said in that great movie, A Lion is in the Streets. There are so many great pieces. And here's how you would know it, what I'm talking about, in one respect. If you look at a movie and you see a remake of the same movie, even though it may be done like 10, 15 years later, and of course the times are going to have an influence and present different aspects of the same story. But if you look at the story, you'll see two different people did it. It didn't matter. If they could have both done it the same year, and it would have been entirely different. Transferring, and here's a good one, books into film. Recently, speaking of more Molotov memoirs, there's one story in Molotov memoirs having to do with the 35th anniversary of the movie Jaws. And I, it was a really pop hit, the book Jaws, Peter Benchley's book. Jaws was gigantic. Everyone was reading it. If you lived in a city when the book Jaws came out, you, especially when it went to paperback, holy criminy. I don't know where I got that one, criminy. I mean, someone said that somewhere. If you took the subway to work or buses, or let's just say public transportation, that would pretty much cover it all, wouldn't it? Where other people were reading just to waste time while the transportation was transporting you, you would see car to car, seat to seat, Jaws. Everybody's reading Jaws. Everybody had it. Everyone was reading it. There were a number of books that really hit the heights. Pop novels. I guess they're not that many today. But then again, a lot of people don't travel in public transportation. Then again, that's a whole other subject. Let's go into that. Here's my point. What is my point? Oh, my point is Jaws. I never read the book and heard about the movie. The movie comes out. I see the movie and I'm trying to remember. It's not one of those movies I remember seeing in the movie in the theater. I don't know when I first saw Jaws. I got to replenish your precious bodily fluids. I am taking a drink of coffee right now. Here goes. That's radio coffee. It's Ralph Cotolo coffee. Because I can't just drink it. I got to drink it like no other person on radio would drink it, right? That's a good cup of coffee. It's not hot as black as hell. It is black as hell. It's not hot as hell. It's not as sweet as love. Love is sweeter. Anyway, so Jaws comes. I didn't see the movie. No, I didn't see the book. I don't remember where I saw the movie. Is what I'm saying. Where I first saw the movie. But it was only till a couple of weeks ago when I was fixing, editing, preening. Preening is a good word to use. This story they had written a while back for Fresh Entertainment magazine, and about the 35th anniversary of Jaws. Well, that was a long time ago already. It's already, I think, isn't it already almost 50 years old? No, because then they have the 50th anniversary. Here's my point. I had no idea while I was doing some research, to preen the article and also edit it and make it longer. I had no idea that the book was so incredibly different than the movie. Incredibly, Frank? That means unbelievably different. It was. I was shocked. I thought it was a simple book. I had no idea that it was as... I had no idea that the things happened in the book and that they changed so much to make it a movie. But then again, here's the deal. Peter Benchley, here's the guy. He had to write the movie, and he also wrote the book, but he could not, and he co-wrote the movie. Carl Gottlieb. How do I remember that name? Because he's in the story. His name is in the story. These two guys wrote the script from the book, and they had to not just cut things out, they had to change it. So in essence, the script and the story you see of Jaws, interpreted by Steven Spielberg, his first super hit as a director, is an entirely different piece than it borrows greatly from the text of the book. But it's another medium, it's another theater altogether. So here's the same piece turning into a different piece and then changing its media format from word on paper to word on paper that describes action and dialogue, and it becomes a movie, which in itself is a community production. By the way, that reminded me of something else. See how it just streams along here? This is how your mind works too. Don't tell me it doesn't. Except what you do is you stop and you go, wait a second, let me get back to that thought. I just keep going. And this is what has gotten me in trouble all my life. Well, it's trouble for them, not for me. For me, it was no trouble. It was trouble for them because they wanted to stay in one place, and I didn't. I saw last week for the first time, and this is another thing that's going to happen, because she promised, and I know she's going to come back, Robin Matthews, who won the Academy Award for Dallas Buyers Club, is going to be on. As soon as she gets off that world tour, another movie or whatever she's doing. But I hadn't seen the movie, and I rooted like hell, and we all did, because she'd been on this show before and talked to us about a lot of her accomplishments. And then she went on to win an Academy Award for makeup in Dallas Buyers Club. And I didn't know much about it. I didn't even know. I saw the Academy Award, so I saw Matthew McConaughey, who I'm not a big fan of that guy anyway, for some reason. You know, just one of those things. He's all right, blah, blah. But he's great in this, you know. And the guy who plays Raymond, whose really name is real Raymond, who's a guy, but he's a transgender. When he won what's the second actor thing? Huh? Anyone? Associate actor? How can I even forget that? He was his best actor and his best supporting actor, of course. When he won best supporting actor, he, of course, the actor, went up and accepted. And I went, I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know. But there's a guy. And that guy was in Dallas Buyers Club, and I'm watching Dallas Buyers Club, Zach something, I forgot his name even, which is a shame. Not that a shame, who's going to call me on it? We'll find out. Go, look it up, write this down, Dallas Buyers Club. And I'm going, where is this guy in this movie? When I'm watching the movie, where is this guy? And the guy who plays the eventual very close friend of the homophobic, wherefore art thou, homeo? The homophobic, this is a true story, by the way, Dallas Buyers Club, and it's a dark but wonderful story about a guy. I'll just tell you this, the guy's given 30 days to live because he contracted AIDS, and he's not a gay man. And he goes, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the movie that, so he didn't, believe me, it's not, and the movie's not 30 days and then he dies. I'll just tell you that much. But I'm going like, what is this? I didn't know that was the guy. The guy, Raymond, whose real name is Raymond, and very, very late in the movie, he goes to see his father And he takes off his female garb and makeup and stuff and then shows up. And I still didn't recognize him. So I had no idea, but it took me a while to realize, hey, that's the guy. That's the supporting actor. Because I'm watching, where's the supporting actor who won this Academy? Great acting. And you might, and it's not just because of that, okay? Because even in the context of the movie, it took me a while to realize that that was a guy, okay? Because and that takes us back to the incredible makeup job by Robin Matthews, who also made Matthew McConaughey look really bad, and he must have lost 200 pounds, and he's only 180 for this role. Gaunt never had a description like the character played by Matthew McConaughey playing that character in Dallas Buyers Club. If you haven't seen that, go see that. Great movie. And there are, I told you a couple of weeks ago, it'd be a great double feature. For all you critical thinkers, I know that there's a lot of people who won't want to see this on the other side of the fence. Well, why does that have to be a fence? Well, you know what I'm talking about. Dallas Buyers Club, The Normal Heart, which is another great movie about that movie about AIDS hitting the scene. Mark Ruffalo, is that his name? Never knew that guy until a couple of movies. I went, who is that guy? I kept seeing him. I don't know. I kept seeing him. Who is that guy? Who is that guy? And there might be people who see the Dallas Buyers Club. It's not, is it the Dallas Buyers Club? No, it's Dallas Buyers Club. Just like this is not the Cotolo Chronicles. This is Cotolo Chronicles. Dallas Buyers Club, not the. People put the, it in front of so many things that do, where the, duh, and them does not belong. Duh. Whatever the case may be. My name is Frank Cotolo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show. And speaking of movies like that, or any movies, talking about movies that are few and far between, and if you, I believe Robin Matthews had said, and we'll talk, if we ever get her on, we'll talk about this to her, that, you know, it was a very low-budget movie. It gets this all this acclaim, and then it makes money and goes around because it gets awards and stuff. But it turns out to be a big publicity thing. But it's good when it comes to movies like that, because those are not the movies that are making the super billion dollars, and they're not given the super billion dollars. I'm saying billions. I'm saying billion dollars to be made. The movies that Hollywood has been making have been gigantic, and they've been the big movies. But Robin had said, you know, what a job. They only had, like, I don't know, you know, $25.30. I'm just making up that stupid little number, that amount. They didn't have a lot of money to do all the makeup. And there's a tremendous amount of great makeup in that. And a lot of it's normal makeup. And people looking sick, it's different than just people, you know, not monsters, and there's no CGI, of course, nothing. It's all done. So they had very little, a small budget to do the film and a small budget to do everything. In it, not like the movies that are getting the tremendous support, millions, tens of millions of dollars, because they feel, Hollywood feels that's what the public wants. And of course, there are successes and there are failures in that genre. We're going to talk, we're not going to talk to anybody, actually. We're going to read from a pop culture blog about the problem Hollywood is having now, pop culture in itself having, in terms of movies, because they're starting to lose money on the big movies, and the public is changing. So where everybody may think, and yet there are things, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little history before we go into that, too. Because there's nothing new about sequels. There's nothing new about Hollywood taking an idea or trend and making it into, I'm not just like beating it to death, with sequels, with similar movies. God knows television is, that's all that is television. Television has been like that forever, but movies go back further. Wait a second, they go back farther. That's distance. Farther? Yeah, well, we're talking about distance, aren't we? Time. Time is distance, further? You know what I mean? The movies were around before TV is what I mean. This is not an English lesson. This is a pop culture lesson here. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man whose name adorns the title of the show, we're Cotolo Chronicles, and we're chronicling right here. Y2K plus 14. 25th of September is this show. The last show of September in Y2K plus 14. And somewhere very near our 10th anniversary show from SRN Media Works. And I want to remind you, that in those 10 years, in that decade, we're talking about, I don't know, hardly any reruns. And those were only done for two reasons. And one of them wasn't even the entire reason. So what I mean is, one reason was I worked somewhere else, and I wasn't on that in that time period. That's one. The other one is that I was ill, and there are a number of times when I did the show ill. So I can't even say that it was because I was ill, but there were times when they couldn't set up something just disappeared from the studio, and we're trying to find out. But anyway, those are the only two reasons that we weren't here. So in those 10 years, let's just say that, okay, we found it. We? You're saying we? What are you talking about, we? You've been sitting here now for 45 minutes, Frank, and you're saying we. What's the we all about? Well, that's because Mr. Jeremy Long is joining us from Anvil, Pennsylvania. Were you in Anvil? It was a guess. I don't know.
That's a pretty good guess, but no.
Okay, pretty good guess. Palmyra, Anvil, Lebanon. What the hell's the difference? You drive through and you don't know when one begins and the next one ends. Mr. Jeremy Long, let's hear it for him. Mr. Jeremy V. Long.
Thank you.
It's not V, is it? No, it's not at all.
You know better.
I know.
What's my Twitter handle?
MD, right. Are you okay, you want to hold that? You want to go to sleep with that microphone tonight or what? You want to play?
I was getting it.
Okay, get it straight where you got it. Okay. Okay. You happy?
Good now.
You happy?
Yeah.
Jeremy Long, of course, has not been here for a couple of weeks, but he's here now. But here's let me finish this thought as if this thought has a conclusion. And that I'm saying that over the years, Hollywood has, even though we're going to talk about some stuff, but it's not necessarily different when we talk about sequels and trends, because you can go as far back as you want to go in Hollywood, and you'll always find that if there was one particular hit, when they had one movie that made a lot of money, they would find a way to make another movie connected to it with the same titles or what have you. Not same title, but I mean, you know, so we're talking about, Frankenstein, Son of Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Ghost of Frankenstein, House of Frankenstein, all the you make up. And even the, not just horror movies, mind you, or excitement movies. Excitement, I mean, adventure movies. No, we're talking, there were series. Remember, there wasn't television, so they had series in the movies. So there was a very famous Dr. Kildare series with the great anti-war commie. They used to call him a commie. No, he was a commie, but he probably wound up on the blacklist. Lou Ayres. That's Lou with a L-E-W. Lou Ayres was Dr. Kildare. He was Dr. Kildare. And so they made this one movie. And Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore, who was at that time crippled, and had to do all of his movies in a wheelchair. And he played Dr. Gillespie. I can't imitate him, so I'm not even going to try. But Lou Ayres, who you might remember if you even want to go back further, I'm no Mark Cousins, so I can't tell you exactly, I can't give you history of film, but I can tell you that that Lou Ayres was in a, and when we, before we talked about book to movie, book to film, Lou Ayres was the main guy in a movie called All's Quiet on the Western Front, which was an anti-war book that was transferred into a movie in the early movie time, early movie, sound movie era. And he did it because he's anti-war, not like, and I always understood, I never understood that too. Like, well, if you're anti, I'm an anti-war. I thought everyone was kind of anti-war. Did I, are there actually people who want war? But anyway, let's not go to, there's not semantics. The point is Lou Ayres then became, was in a movie with Lionel Barrymore walking around on his, on his wheelchair.
Is he related to Drew Barrymore?
Yes, he is. He's, they're all from the great Barrymore family. There's John Barrymore, Lionel Barrymore, who was John Barrymore's brother, and John Barrymore, who's a very famous stage and Earl and movie guy. That's her great grandfather, I believe, is John.
Okay.
I don't know who she. One of the, and there's Ethel Barrymore, who was a famous, one of the sisters. Oh, the Barrymores were, they were the kings and queens of theater and movies in the early. So yes, it is Drew Barrymore. Anyone who's a Barrymore out there is somehow related to the Barrymores.
Okay.
They're the first family of actors and actresses. So anyway, here's Lou Ayres from All's Quiet on the Western Front. He's a contract player at MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and he becomes Dr. Kildare. And now, they didn't expect it to be a series, but they did this one movie. And he was, everybody loved this so much. Many people didn't have TV. They had radio, but they didn't have TV. So they went to see the movie, and the movie had a series. So they said, hey, this character's really good. Let's make Dr. Kildare movies. So then they did the thing, you know, Dr. Kildare takes a vacation. Dr. Kildare gets married. These are names in the movies, you know, calling Dr. Kildare, and Dr. Kildare this, and Dr. Kildare that, you know. And so they made a series of the Dr. Kildare movies, okay. So it's nothing new in Hollywood. I mean, this was done, you know, when the horror movies were, you know, there was Son of Dracula, there was Son of this, that, and the other, you know. There's a million other series, sequels. As a student of film, do you remember any going way back, 40s and 50s?
No.
No, okay. Well, there's... This is why you need to write this stuff down, kids. Go over to your, write them down and go over to your Google, Yahoo or Yagul or Google or whatever. But now, of course, so anyway, that's nothing new. But they made movies and they made them cheaper and they made them in factories. I mean, movie studios were factories in those days. They just came out, they hired people and these people paid this.
Did Motel Hell have any sequel?
No, Motel Hell was an independent. That was another independent. I think it was an independent movie. I don't know where, what. By that time, they weren't. The studios were just distributing and stuff. And even today, there are more distributors and production and money producers, and they come up with money, but they're not. That's why when you see a movie these days, you ever notice in the beginning, there's like four different little
stamps.
Movie stamps, Pygron Productions, and this stuff, and a Migranio film, you know.
In association.
Association with Plug-a-Lot Pictures, you know, all the, because all these companies are created, this is the business of film, and this is not what I wanted to get into. The business of film, they have to create all these different companies. You know, a lot of these companies don't even exist. They're created for one movie. Okay, and they have to have books, and they have to incorporate, have to do all this stuff for like one movie, and then they need four companies because it's a whole different world out there. It's a whole different paradigm.
We did that.
We did that, didn't we? We did.
We created long story short productions.
Yeah, you just do.
Just
yeah.
For the documentary.
But these people are like, you know, they're picking up money, and then of course today now, you know, the thing that we're going to talk about eventually as this show continues, we got plenty of time.
Glad you waited for me.
We're moving along. I had plenty of other things to say. I was really pissed about what's going on in I think it's Colorado or what have you. So I actually had to get on my soapbox and tell, scream at these people. But you go listen to it some other time.
You were
listening to it. Of course, you can listen to it anywhere now because we're mobile. Get your Android, get your iPhone, get your iDroid and your AnPhone and anything else. What, Galaxy?
I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
And what have you. And go listen. But don't listen and drive. No, you can listen and drive. Just don't text while you're listening and driving. No, don't text. You can text while you're listening. Just don't text while you're driving. Is that so hard? Wait a second. What was I saying? I know what I was saying. I said this. I said, all these different companies put it, and then millions of dollars go into these movies. And that's what we're going to talk. So when we talk about the movies and the sequels and stuff like that, it's nothing new, but it is different because the scope of how movies are made are just entirely different now than it had been back then. I guess that's the difference too between a guy like, and he said, I'm not into sports. I don't talk sports. I don't care about sports anymore, but I've had my share of time in sports and with sports and doing some things that had to do with sports, baseball, football, whatever. But on this particular night, and a lot of people the people who were watching that aren't listening to this anyway. But because it's the New York Yankee Derek Jeter's last baseball game, it's on television, and everybody's going crazy, and they're watching, so they're not listening here. But I brought that up because
let's have a moment of silence.
Why did I bring that? A moment of silence for a multimillionaire. Let's all get together and feel real sorry for Derek Jeter, who's got it, who's young, more money, has done more for. There was an Onion. Was that an Onion tweet today about Derek? Getting Derek Jeter getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame for the baseball player who's had the most sex. Twitter. There was no Twitter in those days. Either was there Twitter. In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, we'll be talking about it by reading over. Jeremy will comment. I will comment. And if you have any comments, keep them to yourself. Write them down. Write to us.
Talk about it.
Write to us here. fcatolo@yahoo.com. Ask Jeremy, even though he just heard it in the car on the way here. Because did your mother have a very happy birthday party?
Yes. Today is my mother's birthday.
And I wanted to just say that because you people out there might be saying, oh, there's that Jeremy again. Oh, he's on the show and then he's not on the show. He's coming to the show and then he doesn't. And then he's on and he's late. And then, you know, I know what you're saying out there. But I wanted you to know that his absence and on the show that he said he was going to be on, he is on the show right now. But he had quite a purpose because mom, whose age we will not reveal under these circumstances, I was just going to call your mother Codeine. That's not her name. Her name is not Codeine.
I bought her that for her birthday.
I don't know where. My saloon doors are flapping at the speed of sound.
Cotty.
It was short for what? Coddington? My mother, Coddington.
Just Cotty.
Coddington Long. Yes, Miss Coddington Long. Where do you have a name like Cotty? No?
It's just Cotty.
Oh, come on.
Perhaps we should start calling her Cot.
Your mother was born, and her parents said, "We got a great idea. Let's call her Cotty."
Yeah.
C-O-T-T. Why?
C-O-T-T-I-E.
Now, there was the first argument. Mom and Dad sat and went, "What is it? No, not Cotty with the I-E. Cotty with the Y, like Betty. Betty with the I-E? No, Betty with the Y."
What's weird is that her brothers and sisters have, like, the most common names ever. Sue, Gary, and John. Couldn't
Susan,
be more common.
Gary, and John.
And then you get Cotty.
John, short for Jonathan. Sue, short for Susan. And Gary, short for Garrison. It could be,
but it's not really. Probably not.
That's right. Gary's not like Larry, short for Lawrence, but Gary's not short for Garrence. It's not Garrence, is it? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Larry, Lawrence, Gary Garrence. Should be Garrence. Maybe it was Garrence. We don't know, do we?
Probably.
No, we don't know.
I'm going to start calling all the people I know Gary.
And Garrence. They said the mom and dad, his grandparents, and they had the little baby, the girl, and they said, you know what? We're tired of these names. Gary, Sue, Barbara, John, George, Ringo. We're tired of these names. Well, let's name her something different. And then they came up with this name. Is there any story behind that name? I mean, what you
not
don't
that
know
I'm aware
it?
Of. There may be, but I'm not aware of it.
I would just think that if you have an odd name, especially, well, I mean, she's not an old woman, so, but in those days, even in those days, they were still naming people Gary. They don't name people Gary anymore. There's no more Garys out there. Do you know one Gary from school, from high school, or from college?
Nope, but I know Roger.
There's the Cotolo Chronicle engine moving. Yeah, we're moving right along here. We're moving right along. Let's go. Watch out. Look out. Go. Do you know one Gary?
No, but I do know a Roger.
You knew a Roger. Roger? Okay.
There's a Roger that's younger than me. I feel like that's a...
Give me the names of five kids. And what year were you in, like, grade school?
And what year was I in grade school?
You were in grade school when? What years?
Like 1996 or 7.
6, 7, 8. Yeah. Name five boys and or girl, boys and girls, whatever, names of a kid you knew that were in your class.
People I'm friends with?
Well, that you knew, even, you know, remembered or what have you in your class.
Austin!
No, if I went to school in Brooklyn, New York, and the kid came in, here's the new child, new kid, just come in from Pennsylvania. His name is Austin. I mean, at least five kids from Brooklyn, you know, coming into a Brooklyn school, and he's moving from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
The kid is already marked. He's not going home without blood on his face. I mean, it's Austin, you're Boston. Austin from Boston, you son of a bitch. Austin? Kind of a name is that? What are you, a city?
Then
there's who else?
Eddie.
Now, Eddie, okay, because Eddie from Edward.
Yeah.
Okay. So no one would make it.
Tyler.
Tyler was never any Tylers. Tyler? Well, excuse me. You know, we're going to fuck you, Tyler. What is that? What kind of name is Tyler?
Ian.
Ian, oh, I see. So you're from over there, are you, Ian? You British limey piece of snot. All right, that would be him. This is how I grew up. Ian, yeah, Ian.
Names.
Ian, go ahead.
Only
one. Eddie's the only one that
Eddie's
actually.
The only one. Then there was.
It's amazing how I could just rattle off names, and my names go back decades.
Yeah.
Your names go back not even one decade. Go ahead.
At least a decade.
At least a decade. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, well, you want to think
Justin.
About it, write them down. Justin, there's another one. Justin? What's your last name, Time? Oh, he came just in time.
Is that what they would have said?
Yeah. Yeah, then you have Justin. Yeah, just in my pants! Yeah! You know, oh, you're here just in time to blow me! Yeah! That, you know, that was like the fifth grade kids were saying. You know, and in Brooklyn it was weird. What else?
More names?
Well, how about girls?
Kyle.
Yeah, nobody know Kyles.
Okay.
Kyle.
Oh, how about girls?
Here they come.
Stephanie?
Oh, Stephanie. Now, if you had a name like Stephanie, you went to a private school. And you were just with all other people named Stephanie and stuff. You were not with...
All the Stephanies.
If you went there, there were no...
All the Stephanies in
yeah,
this
the
class.
Stephanies all went over there. You know, there were no Janets. Janet, Barbara, Sandra.
There's Catherine.
Okay, Catherine's and Kate's. There were plenty of Kathys. But they became Kathys, see?
Not Catherine.
Yeah, they wouldn't call
she
them Catherine.
Catherine.
I mean, if you were Catherine, you were with the Stephanies. But if you were Kate, you were with the kids.
The one I'm
Kate
thinking of went by Catherine, and she spelled it with a C. C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E.
Oh, don't get me into the spelling, too. My name is Lynn. I spell it L-Y-N. What happened to the other N's? Oh, that's a different Lynn. There's L-I-N. And Linda, short for Lynn, Linda, L-I-N, is L-Y-N, L-Y-N-N, L-Y-N-N-E, and of course there's L-Y-N-X, but the X is silent. What does that mean? Lynn, with an X, but the X is silent.
There's Lauren.
That's a little awkward. There weren't many Laurens. There are Lauras.
Yeah.
See, Laura became Lauren.
This was Lauren.
In the as the decades went by. Christines, there were Christines.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were Christines.
There was,
All right, you think about it. And we have the first hour has now hit the clock. And here at Cotolo Chronicles, my name is Frank Tolman's name, but don't the title of the show. We'll do a little bit. Everybody go get some, refill your liquids. We're going to come back. We're going to look at the pop culture. What broke Hollywood? Or why is Hollywood broken? Or whatever it is, because they're in a lot of trouble. So a lot of the things you're going to be seeing in movies may be a lot different. So don't go away. You neither. We'll be back. Jeremy and I.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. We'll even mic it.
Escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Hey guys, I'm Jess.
And I'm Lisa from the Variety Kids for Rad. We see a lot of things at gigs, mostly people having a good time and having a few drinks. But what we'd hate to see is someone getting behind the wheel after they've been drinking. Being even a little bit over the limit makes it too easy to lose control and possibly lose your life or that of a friend. So if you plan to drink, plan ahead. Arrange a designated driver who won't drink or stay the night at a friend's place. Remember, music lives and you should too.
Our public service message brought to you by Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, how you doing? This is Joe Walsh. I'm speaking on behalf of Rad. It's okay to rock and roll, right? But don't drive home drunk. If you're drunk, call me up. I have a limo. I'll come and get you.
Sleep all day, out all night. I know where you're going. I don't think that's...
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio. The people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio that turns them on. Swinging, singing, a million sounds you want to hear. It's a landslide every year.
radio, the people's choice. East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes the scene.
Do bing cầu,
xiu
chuan do dai xi, ham sap ngu zai do ham sap zhong sim.
Hi,
Cthulhu Chronicles.
I'm Sukno Chongho. I wish I could speak like that. You know, Phil's going to be, we're trying to set up when Phil comes one of these days, soon, maybe October, November, whatever, Phil and the gang coming down here to our neck of the woods, and it's going to be fun. We're going to try to do something really weird. We're going to try and do something very weird with the show. We're doing all sorts of... See, whenever Jeremy's here, we do all sorts of, I guess, what, contemporary, wonderful contemporary things. And we're doing a selfie now, is that?
Mid-show selfie.
Here you go. Okay, now, all you people want to go to, where are they going to go? Well, can't go anywhere, because you can't even connect to your internet.
There's no Wi-Fi.
You got a crappy phone. There's Wi-Fi all over this place, pal. So don't give me that, there's no Wi-Fi.
I'm finally connected.
Okay.
It worked.
So
I just got a new phone, so that's why I had to reconnect.
Oh, well, you're going to see that. If you people go to Twitter, you'll see us as we are doing the show, a selfie. Would that be considered a selfie if there's two of us? I don't know. It's not a selfie, is it?
I think it still is.
Yeah?
I think regardless, I think the art of the selfie is holding it yourself instead of having someone.
So it could be 12 people, 13 people. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay. We're back, and we're going to. Here we go. We're going to a website that has a blog. It's called Culture Crash. This is what got us involved in this particular. I'm going to read through this. I don't know this guy, and I'm sure he would be on the show if he knew what an. It's so funny. If you knew I'm sure he would be on the show if he knew what an important fellow I am on internet radio and how there were no, before I was blogging when he was just born, I think this guy, he's a young guy. No, he's not that young. What's my point? My point is not to put this poor guy down. There's an Arts Journal blog. Oh, it's artsjournal.com. Okay, so I've given them the plug. And if they want to get in touch with me, they can, because I'm Frank Cthulhu. I'm the man's name adorns the title of the show. We're in our 10th year at SRN Media Works and on syndication on many of the shows, many of the stations, internet stations around here. And we come before all this junk. But he wrote this very fascinating blog. Who Broke Hollywood? His name is Scott Timberg. And he says, and I quote, but I don't do his voice. Should I try to do voices of what Scott Timberg would sound like?
Yeah, I think here's what Scott,
go ahead.
What's his name?
Scott Timberg.
Well, hey, I'm Scott Timberg, here writing the article for...
That's not bad.
Yeah?
I mean, I don't know if it's him, but I was going to do something. You know what's
funny?
I think
that's him.
You immediately
Scott Timberg.
I think this is good, too, because it shows your penchant for acting, because you immediately find a character and do a realistic voice, right? I was going to do this jerk.
What were you going to do?
I'm in a long time.
Some Jewish grandpa?
I'm a jerk, you know. Some jerk.
Scott Timberg's a Jewish grandpa.
Well, that would be a character. I mean, it's like some cartoon guy, you know. I'm always like...
Well, I'm all about over-the-top characters.
But you went for something particularly serious there.
I was trying to tie it in with his name.
Well, he's a long-time...
Timberg seems like a sophisticated...
He calls himself a long-time culture writer. So maybe he's been at this...
I'm Scott Timberg, and What?
Culture writer.
I'm a long-time culture writer.
Does he realize what long time means in this?
Anyway, for 22 days.
He's based in Los Angeles. He has a book out called Culture Crash. The Killing of the Creative Class comes out this fall.
Buy my book, Culture Class.
I will not be on Cthulhu Chronicles to try to promote it. That fellow...
No one buys books that Frank Cthulhu tries to promote. So
in a world where Frank Cthulhu sells books... Or not.
This is the conversation. Ready? Here's the conversation.
I want
to
remind
you're calling up Feidenberg to be on the show.
Go ahead.
Call him up.
Oh, hi. Is this guy? I'll speak to Scott Timberg. What did you call him? Timberg is his name.
Is it Timberg?
You know, isn't that what they... And I would say, are you named after what the lumberjacks used to shout? Timberg!
My father was the founder of the lumberjack society, so yes.
The LS. His book is called Culture Crash, The Killing of the Creative Class, comes out this fall. It comes out this fall. Yeah.
His I will not be on your show. Click.
His stories have appeared in the New York Times, Salon, and Los Angeles Magazine. And I was an LA Times staff writer for 6 years. The guy wrote the article. I like the article. Here I am, like, just ridiculous. That's horrible, making fun of the guy. I mean, we're going to quote him.
I worked at the LA Times.
I'm also an enthusiastic, if middling, jazz and indie rock.
How dare you assume that I would be on your show, Frank Cotolo? I worked at the LA Times for 6 years.
I would never think of doing this, and I don't. I mean, I would never even do it seriously, but even if I was a serious writer... And it says, I was an LA Times staff writer for 6 years. And then he puts, I'm also an enthusiastic, if middling, jazz and indie rock guitarist. Hey, you know, it's like, oh, great. You know, where you, let's get out. And then read more. I'm sorry, we're not clicking it. We're reading no more. We're going to go to this thing, Who Broke Hollywood? And just like many of my blogs, this has been out, he has... You know how everybody can comment? People read? He has one comment. So we're tied.
You guys won.
But listen, he really hits the proverbial nail on the proverbial head of the proverbial nail with this. Let's go through this. With an awful and low-yielding summer movie season recently concluded. Now let's stop right there. Did you realize that it was over the summer? We're into autumn now. The summer's a big... season for movies, and right? Because people go to the theater.
Summer.
Well, how did you know?
Huh?
Well, how did you know? You knew it was a bad summer?
The box office trends.
Oh, so you didn't say, hey, Frank, here's an interesting topic you might want to get into, that it was a bad summer for movies. You knew this already and didn't tell me. I had to read it. I had to hear it from Scott Timberg?
Well, Scott Timberg was a much more reliable source.
Scott Timberg, he writes, I've been meaning to try to make sense of the continued decline of grown-up film.
Has he? How long has he been meaning to do that?
He says, he's been meaning to try. He has not even tried. Oh, come on, stop it. Wait, let's not do this. Let's look at the topic.
Scott Timberg!
Let's look at the topic. Two LA Times stories get at the problem, which is both economic and aesthetic. And this is always the battle in Hollywood. Economic versus aesthetic. Economic, E versus A. EVA equals combat. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Conflict, drama. Because drama is based on conflict. The first story... So he's going to tell us about other stories so we can make fun of him now because he's going to tell us about these other guys. We're going to make fun of him. How about this guy's name? Josh Rottenberg. Rottenberg. Hey, when I was born, I was Freshberg. But now I'm Rottenberg. I got old and... Okay.
I was out in the sun too long.
Okay, stop it. This is ridiculous. Okay.
Is that how you think Josh Rottenberg would sound?
Josh Rottenberg.
I'm Josh Rottenberg.
That's it. Takes the point of view of frustrated screenwriters. Here's a quote from Josh Rottenberg, okay? Over the last few decades... What?
Here I come.
You're going to read it as him?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Go ahead.
Oh, that's a long quote.
Okay, not so loud, because now you've got to negotiate.
How far?
That's good. Right there. Right, go ahead. Just...
Over the last few decades.
That's going to be very loud. That's very... What'll get you
That's Josh Rottenberg.
Josh, you talk back there, then.
Tell Josh...
Okay, let's just... Go, sit down. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to read it like him.
Okay,
I don't know, you know. And he wouldn't...
not have any fun.
He wouldn't be on the show anyway. Over the last few decades...
I'm not going to be on your show, Click.
Over the last few decades, as the studios have shifted their business models toward making fewer... bigger would-be blockbusters, a certain kind of movie that used to be the bedrock of American cinema, namely the kind aimed at adults who didn't necessarily grow up surrounded by stacks of comic books, has gotten only more difficult to make. Unfortunately, that just happens to be the kind of new movie that Frank, like many of his peers, aims to write. Frank. Oh, he's talking about big-time screenwriter Scott Frank, another Scott.
Oh, okay.
who sees, listen to this, this is fascinating, a lot of writers are moving to TV.
That's true.
Because TV doesn't do all these super, they do, TV does more dramas, more close, small screen stuff. Here's actors are moving to TV also because they can't get the parts. That's nothing really new about that. That used to happen when they couldn't, you know. Very few actors have gone from TV to being big movie stars. Not everybody is a Bruce Willis, okay? Those guys who made the very few of those. Remember the bees who tried? Remember Caruso, the guy from the redheaded guy? What's his name? Something Caruso. I didn't remember his last name.
From what show?
Yeah, see, you don't remember him. No, he was on a very famous TV police show.
David Caruso?
Yeah, David Caruso. Well, he bombed in movies big time, came from television.
Yeah.
Although he's in one good movie with your pal Christopher Walken, King of New York. Did you ever see him?
Yeah. One of my favorite movies.
I'm going to do him, too. What am I?
My buddy David Caruso. He overpowered me in that movie.
Here's what Scott Frank said. I'm sure Out of Sight wouldn't get made today. Apparently he made, you know, he's not a very good writer because even though what is he talking about? Out of Sight. He brings up a movie he hasn't talked about. And he says, I'm sure Out of Sight wouldn't get made today. Frank said recently, Little Man Tate definitely wouldn't be made. That's a very good movie. It was the first directing. I don't even know if she directed anymore. Jodie Foster directed.
Ooh.
Wonderful movie, Little Man Tate. And he says, Little Man Tate definitely wouldn't get made today. Even Get Shorty is a struggle to get made today. They're all tricky movies that probably wouldn't happen. Now, today, we're not talking about, when I was talking about Dr. Kildare, I'm going back to the 40s and late 30s. He's talking about movies from the 90s. Can't get made today. This is like one decade. This is back to when you knew
Eddie
and
Kyle.
Tyler. And
Austin.
And I'm doing the retarded Christopher Walken. Walken, I don't know how to jump.
It's like Stallone walking.
Also noting is this interesting statistic right here. Over the past 5 years, total earnings for work in film, reported by WGA, those are the Writers Guild of America, right? Mm-hmm. Total earnings for work in film reported by the WGA members has dropped more than 24% as a number of studios have cut back on production. 24%, that's like it's one quarter. I had to do it with my fingers because I come from a school in the 50s. 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, M. How do you get the P? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, M. Okay.
It's a little piggy. I know. The market.
That's one quarter. One quarter. In what? 5 years. There's no way to write anymore. I got a film. No wonder that film I can't get. No wonder License to Skill can't become a film. And, you know, if they want to put $1 billion into it, let's move on. The second article.
Peggy and I are going to make that happen.
The second article from Scott Timberg brought about this particular blog is a critical reflection by Kenneth Turan, whose essay asks, what's changed since 1939? Here we go. I didn't even know because I didn't read this blog before. I was talking before about movies back in the 30s and 40s and how Hollywood was. Here's what's changed since then. According to Kenneth Turan, I don't know how he pronounces it, T-U-R-A-N.
Ooh.
I quote, among the films released just in this one year, 1939, alone, and if you haven't seen any of these movies, please go to YouTube, go to MyTube, iTube, get Netflix, your Flix, your Tube, Flix, FlixTube, wherever you go, StreamTube, Lulu, Hulu, Dulu, and Voodoo. Among the films released in 1 year, listen to this, Gunga Din. Though I hate you and I mock you, though I mock you and I post you, you're Peckerman Malloy, Gunga Din, from the Rudyard Kipling. Am I dropping names now? Nobody knows. Write these down quick. Huh. Gunga Din.
Oh, yeah.
With, you just look them up. D-I-N.
I know it.
Pronounce it Dean. 1939, Gunga Din, Stagecoach. Love Affair, Wuthering Heights, Dark Victory, Young Mr. Lincoln, Beau Geste, that's what they say in Brooklyn, Beau Geste, Goodbye Mr. Chips, The Wizard of Oz, hate it, we're not going to go there, The Women, Golden Boy, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and Ninotchka, Destry Rides Again, and of course, Gone with the Wind, 1 year from a number of different studios, 1 year. Comedies, dramas, westerns, fantasies, period pieces, inspirational tales, romances. And that's just scratching the surface, because those are the major movies. Beneath those were an entire different... The factory was putting out incredible bunches of movies that were just nuts. And there was still, in those days, there was still the market movies. And this is for another subject, which I may never get to some other time, or no other time. But there was an entire part of the studios that did movies all only with African Americans, and with these movies that went out to places in the South where only Negroes lived in and they produced product for them, and they made stars out of people, and they made stereotypes out of people. But anyway, so this is, and there were B movies, A movies, C movies, D movies. Okay. Today's Hollywood, by contrast, has transformed itself into the hedgehog. The one big thing Hollywood knows how to do is make sequels and superhero movies, and sequels to superhero movies, all aimed at a young adult crowd with no end in sight. It's not the crowd that has no end in sight. See, he wrote it the way he wrote it. There's no end in sight to this type of movie. That is aimed at the young adult crowd. He just did it. Put it in the wrong spot. Okay. The race to secure prime spots has become so intense that studios have claimed release dates for as yet untitled superhero movies through 2020.
That's true.
Which at this point feels a bit like rearranging desk chairs on the Titanic. He got a little bit creative there when he wrote that. Fascinating.
That was after a couple drinks.
How do you know he drinks? This guy, Kenneth
Turan?
He's a writer. Hey, that's a good point. Yeah, make a good point there, pal. That's a big difference from the 30s, the late 30s, over the end of the 30s to now. 2020. Fascinating, too, because it even happened on TV. It just coincidentally... That's my job. Pick it up, see, absorb these things. Coincidentally, before I came into the studio tonight to do any number of things, which I've been doing now for how many hours, I saw the coming attractions. I don't know, CW, we also have so many stations. Is it CW?
Is that Channel 3?
Yeah, but what's that stand for? It's not the Country Western. No. The CW channel.
I don't know. Children's.
They used to have call letters. This is KCW, KLC. No. The CW. What does that mean? Country work? Does it mean what? Does it mean calligraphy wonder? Does it mean cauliflower and weeds? What does it mean, the CW?
Contagious Walrus.
There you go. Anyway, they're doing a series. They created a series. It didn't go to network, because now lots of shows are created. They can go different places. It's not like, because there's more channels. To do those things, production places, not like movies. Yeah, and the internet. But I'm just on TV now.
Okay.
Forget about going off TV. They're making, speaking of superheroes, they're going to have a series on The Flash.
Yeah.
The very famous DC Comics when I was growing up. I don't know if they have Flash anymore. Is Flash, it must be still around.
Yeah, well...
No, they're aiming...
In comic book form, yeah.
It is in comic book? Okay. Yeah. There's never been a movie or anything like that. So there are still... There are still superheroes they haven't touched.
True. Aquaman.
Hawkman.
Yeah.
Remember him? They tried to do a couple of them really bombed. Well, a lot of them bombed here and there.
They moved a lot of superhero stuff into television. Because there's the show Arrow for the Green Arrow.
Green Arrow, yes.
And the Flash is coming.
Flash is coming,
just
TV.
Just started.
Gotham, that's a weird thing. It's Batman when he was a boy, before he was Batman.
Yeah.
What happened in Gotham when Jack Nicholson, when the, where do I get a load of me? How do you like that? Is that pretty good?
Whoa.
Wait till they
Jack,
get...
you're back in the room.
Wait till they get a load of me. You know what? It's not that good. I used to do it better. Wait till they get a... Wow. I used to do that a lot better. Let's see. Wait. Wait till they get a load of me. Yeah. No, that's bad either. That's too. That's bad too. Let's see if I could do it. Wait.
Bad.
What? Can you... Wait. Wait till they get a load... Now it sounds even stupider. How about this? Here, wait.
Wait till they get a load of me.
Yeah, that's good. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Wow, what a dramatic change from your first two.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, I did that. Yeah, very loud.
Wait till they get a load of me.
That sounds like no one.
No one. That's my own voice.
Yeah. So.
For a cartoon I'm working.
So they got Gotham. They have.
Flash.
Flash.
Arrow.
Yeah. And there's things that didn't make it because they spent
Agents
a lot of money
of
on. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And what is S.H.I.E.L.D.?
S.H.I.E.L.D. is...
Superheroes indicted for endematic...
Love destruction.
Destruction? What does the S.H.I.E.L.D. stand for?
I don't actually remember.
Yeah,
I
you
know
see?
This one. That's where...
That's
where Captain Samuel L. Jackson works. At S.H.I.E.L.D.
Samuel Jackson?
Yeah, I forget his name now.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, I forget his
What's
character.
The L. stand for?
Lawrence...
Or Larry, not Gorance. 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 And
Garance.
Let's go back to Hollywood here. Okay, so that was, yes, that's what happened with, that's what happened with that. Of course, they kept trying it. And this is what they're talking about. Because they'll look for, in other words, there might have been like five or six scripts, really good movies. And before, you know, and they came to whatever studio or production trying to get money for these movies, and they go, yeah, no, you know what? We like these. They're good and everything, but we got this. You know, we never did Green Lantern. Let's do Green Lantern and get that Ryan guy. So they did Green Lantern, which bombed horribly. And what they're trying to do each time is make a series. They're trying to make what they call a franchise. It used to be series. Now it's a franchise. We'll make series of movies, unlike they did back in the days when they made series. And that didn't work. So if it bombs out, they don't make a second one. Or, and I talked about this when it came on. What was the deal with rebooting Spider-Man when they had Spider-Man? They did three Spider-Man movies, and then they rebooted Spider-Man and did it all over again.
It was a completely different series.
It's stupid. It's still Spider-Man, and they did it again. And then,
well,
and
the
then
first
they...
one was Spider-Man. The second one is the Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, come on! It's the Peter Pumpkin, Peter Pumpkin face, or whatever it is, and the same guy. In other words, they did it, and then they didn't stick with that. The same thing with Batman. The reboot became pop. That's reboot Batman. Now he's a Dark Knight. You know, they come Batman, and they did the same thing with then Superman. Superman Returns, Man of Steel, Steel Men, Kryptonite Man. And, you know, Metropolis goes under, and they keep doing it over for different generations, I guess. Perhaps.
Yes.
Spider-Man. And then what was the Hulk? They did the Hulk with Eric Bana.
Oh.
And that guy, that was the same guy, that Chinese guy. Wasn't that the Chinese director, Wing Lau or Wing Fat?
Yeah.
Wing Fat.
I don't remember his name.
I've always been the guy with the finger in his nose when the passport pictures get taken. And the other, he did that. And then they did another one with...
Edward Norton.
Yeah, what's that all about? Well, I don't know. I don't understand how it
sucks,
happens.
That's why.
No, you see, now you're just saying that. But let me tell you, it's all guided by money. When you say the first one sucks because you didn't like it, but that also means the first one didn't make the kind of money. And this was, you know, we could do Hulk better. I want to tell you something, and I'm not ashamed of this, okay? But there are certain websites, blogs, and if you go to Tumblr and you really start looking around, they have superhero porno. I mean, they do, and they show, and I'm telling you, and you'll see it for yourself. There are some great artists out there doing some what would be considered disgusting things by some people. For me, it's not disgusting, but you know, and what reminded me of it right now was that while tumbling around Tumblr, while skipping around Tumblr, or tumbling around Skipper, or wherever I was. What do they call that? Surfing? Do they still call it surfing?
Surfing the web.
Do they still call it surfing? You got to decide where you're going to stand with that microphone. You going to stay right there?
Why?
Is that how far it's going to stay from your mouth or what? Or are you going to move it up? Because I don't, I can't level
I can
you.
Talk here. Louder.
Okay, stay there. Move it up a little bit. Okay, stay right there. I saw this incredible, speaking of incredible, Hulk, this is what reminded me of it. The Hulk was, I'd say doing, I could say anything I want, this is alternative radio, but I don't, you know what I'm saying? The Hulk was doing Wonder Woman. Mm. And that's a big do, because, man, I mean, he's green, the Hulk.
He was on the bottom.
Yeah, well, yeah, and he was like, and she was in front, and the Hulk's legs were spread, and she was doing a cowgirl, what they call a cowgirl. She was her back to him, okay? And the Hulk, and I was green with envy, even though the Hulk was, but you know, here's the deal, though. You look at this, and it's like, wow, these are artists. I couldn't go anywhere near drawing the Hulk. No one's drawing the Hulk. Doing Wonder Woman and making Wonder Woman look hot. I mean, how do you do this? This is amazing. The people out there who have talent, who have nowhere to go, so they have these Tumblr blogs, and it's like, hey, look, here's a six, you know, here's a four ducks doing a donkey. I mean, they do this stuff to get your attention, and they have all these crazy characters out there, the animes and all the stuff and all those things. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, you know, porn out there. But my point is not the porn. My point is the incredible artwork that's going on out there. But they're getting the attention of Hulk people. Now, the Hulk, the first Hulk, didn't make money.
Now, another thing was the second one tied into the Marvel, the whole Avengers thing.
Well, there you go. Now we got the series. We got the idea.
Like, yeah, because Marvel has what they call Phase 1. Which is the movies they shelled out in the period of time, which includes the second Hulk movie, the one with Edward Norton.
Right.
The Incredible Hulk. Iron Man 1.
How come Spider-Man isn't a member of the Avengers?
In some comic books he is.
But not in, the movies. And then of course, that all came about not because Thor became popular, but Thor became popular after, I mean, Iron Man has been gigantic. That no one expected Iron Man to do what it did. Yeah. I don't know how it did what it did. Three of them. Do you know the third movie got a better review than the first one? The absolutely unbelievable review. I've read very literate and erudite critiques of those of Iron Man. I have no idea how Iron Man... I remember when these comic books came out, all right? And nobody but kids cared about them. Mm-hmm. Iron Man. I had all the first editions. I'd be rich today if I kept any of them in good condition. Really, when Marvel came out, this shows you about generations too. This shows you they never thought in a million years of doing, because they didn't have the wherewithal and have the technology to do them the way they do today. Mm-hmm. Thor and all that stuff. Well, when we were kids. And that stuff came out, I guess I'm in 10, 11, or 12, I guess, when DC Comics was finally challenged by Marvel. Marvel started coming out. Marvel was crap. They had nothing at all. Nothing going on until they came up with the Fantastic Four. And that's been only two movies. How come? Why aren't there more of those movies?
Both tanked.
They tanked both of them?
Yeah.
Wow. And that's something. They have all the, it's amazing. Well, anyway. Back. The point is, this is where they're going. Marvel itself, probably one of the biggest, and they got plenty of characters they haven't even touched yet, have they?
Yep.
And the Avengers, believe it or not, I'm thinking about this, all the great movies that have been out. Earlier, I was talking, did you hear me talking about Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah.
Okay.
Robin.
Yeah, and Robin, and the movie itself, and how there's this is like a guy who, the two people win Academy Awards for acting, and his other Academy Awards, a gigantic movie. It's about something that, you know, couldn't be further from Hulkish, flashiest, greenish, marvelous Iron Man, cracked man. Couldn't be further from that that theater and that genre. And here's a movie that they couldn't even get. You know, everybody had to work cheap. And they had no budget whatsoever in this, and it's never going to make. And because it got the attention it got from Academy Awards and stuff, it made make money. But My point being, how did they get that done? They couldn't get that done. I mean, they're going to go, by comparison, to like somebody goes, yeah, but we had to do it. Well, we could do it a flash. Let's do it a flash of TV. This is the directors now. They talk like that, and they have a little twitch. I wish you could see me.
A little twitch? A
little twitch. I was on a little twitch.
There's an empty pill bottle. On
the the funny thing, what? There's an empty pill bottle. Where? Down there?
Yeah,
one over here, too.
Is there something I need to know about?
Oh, what do you think was in here?
Pills.
Okay, so there's a pill bottle. When pills are gone, the bottle's empty. My name is Frank Cotola. My man's name is Adorns. The title of the show, we have Jeremy Long, and I'm talking about what's happening here through the eyes of us, as we remember now. Jeremy, of course, who was a member of the audience that they're talking about here, and me, Frank Cotola, who is a seasoned cultural... I go back further than Scott Timberg, believe me. You hear me, Scott?
How, you want to challenge me to a fight?
I'll punch you in the neck. And okay, let's see. Hollywood says this guy. Who is this guy now? Oh, this is Kenneth Turan, whose essay. We can go to the essay, too, and talk more about it. Hollywood says Kevin has doubled down on a single audience sector, and a single kind of film, like a farmer who relies on one crop, like Linda Obst. Who's Linda Obst? I don't even know. Like Linda Obst. Oh, I'm supposed to know Linda Obst. He blames corporate control and the overseas market. That means what he blames is money. And money has always been the guiding force, the fuel. But to give certain... You know, it's like TV, too. Today, you turn on television, there's at least three channels that run... movies, shows from the 60s and, right? TV and they're showing all the classic Ant TV, Ant, Ant, Spider, Mosquito TV. Well, not Ant, not Ant. I meant A-N-T, Me TV.
Oh, Me TV.
TV, class, TV Land.
TMC, Turner, no, TCM.
They don't show, TV shows, TMC, okay? Turner Classic Movies, not Turner Classic Television, okay? Turner Classic Movies.
TCT?
Yeah, TCP.
PCP.
Here's my point. My point is, some of those classics, let's take the Dick Van Dyke Show, which was almost canceled the first season. See, but they gave it a chance, and they worked it the way that people worked, the way that producers work plays. A play on Broadway, they don't just rehearse. And then open one night. They take the show on the road. The script, things change based on audiences that they and by the time it hits Broadway, it has gone through a number of incarnations based on the original book and the music. Things change, edits, any number of things could change. If you see the play in Boston, it's, you know, before, you're part of an audience that has something to do with the helping with them to complete the play. That doesn't happen. It used to happen in television too. Things like the Dick Van Dyke Show. Almost gonna be. I got news for you. Seinfeld was almost canceled today, and I actually punched a magazine. Did you ever punch a? I punched a magazine.
Yeah.
I punched a. I picked it up in the store. I punched it, and then put it back. No one was watching. They probably got it on tape, and they wanted, but they didn't charge me for it.
If Russell Crowe is on the magazine, I punch it all the time.
Oh, it said it had a picture of the Seinfeld people. It said Seinfeld. It said, changed all, the sitcom that changed all lives.
This was
I picked it up, and I punched it. How dare you? Changed my life? This television? What are you, nuts? What are you, on heroin? What are you on? Drugs? What do you have? An empty drug carton that you've taken them all at once or what? I punched it and put it back.
Good.
I mean, it changed my life. It's like, it changed a lot of things in terms of how certain people looked and wrote TV. And it didn't change people. I don't like that. Because it added some words to the lexicon of, come on, you know? But that's my personal preference. My point being that very popular show, and obviously now considered a classic, was almost canceled.
Yes.
And I was like, so, but uh-huh. They gave it, and that was the early 90s, and they gave that a chance. But and that's not even that long ago. So this guy's right. And within 5 years,
they don't
what
give shows chances anymore. They get canceled after like 3 episodes.
Yeah, they could be. And sometimes the network will buy like 6 episodes, and you know 3 of them will go on, get bad ratings. They won't even play the other 3.
Yeah,
I don't know. Lord knows what happens.
Then
to
it gets
some
put
of them
out on DVD and gets a cult following.
Well, they don't all get cult followings. You know what they consider a cult following? Not enough people to pay for the project. That's cult. It's always the same thing. It's like, hey, Cthulhu Chronicles. Yeah, that's that underground. That's that Ulterior. It's the Ulterior. That's the way the guy would say it. That's that Ulterior internet program broadcast, right? It's cult. What does that mean? It means that there's like 16 Orientals and some people in parts of the world listening to say it up. They can't go to sleep. And he always says he's got a big audience overseas. Why? Because they're all insomniacs. They can't go to sleep. Hey, listen to him talk, boy. They get to sleep pretty damn fast. Anyway, that's my critics, I'm sure. I'm not
think
sure.
So?
I'm just, well, you know.
Who are your critics?
They're people, you know, who don't like me. But then listen, one of the people, and there's a, okay, but I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about this. Now here's what's happened. And this is how you people out there who go to movies, see movies, like movies. All right. I'm time to replenish my precious bodily fluids with this coffee. And here goes another Ralph Cotolo drinking coffee moment. There you go. Thank you. It was made for radio. That's how you drink coffee on radio if you're Ralph Cotolo. So, my father was a great movie critic. I know I've talked about him many times on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how he just did not understand. He did not understand the timber of a script and how it's when it satisfied itself, when it was satisfied at the end. He wanted everything tied up, every little knot tied up. And he didn't understand when it was done subtly. There were subtle changes. The character changed, but he didn't change big enough, you know, or a lot. And they didn't, whatever. He didn't like that. He wanted to know what happened after that. It's like I told a story, and this is a good thing for you. Maybe you want to make this into a routine, as you do with many other things that I tell you. No. Oh, I'm proud to say that I helped Jeremy write some of this material. That's all I'm going to say right now. I'm a writer. I've been a writer. I've done my own jokes, okay? I never made it in stand-up because I never really did a lot of stand-up. This was my stand-up for 10 years, and more than 10 years, just 10 years on SRN. Happy birthday to me. And
did you see my post about that?
I did. That was very nice of you to do that. I didn't even realize that until I saw your post. And then Phil Hong told me about it. And he said, we're nearing the 10th year here, which means we're ending the 10th year and beginning the 11th. Let's not get into that either, how we count, okay?
When I went to the blog spot, that's when I saw it, because the archives go back to September 2004.
I see.
This would be the...
Okay, right. And I was talking about the archives, how people can go back and see what we up until... That's right. That's probably when we started. Because we were on Amcast a couple of years before that. So, I mean, we were on since the beginning of time. Well, and as far as the internet is concerned, you know, and we're still here. What was I talking about? Oh, here's a routine you could do. I was talking about, like, what happens...
I write my own stuff, though.
Oh, no, he does. He writes a lot of his own stuff. And very, very, very good stuff. You've heard some of it here. We fixed it. Okay. Here's the deal, friends. I want to tell you this. Oh, I meant, you know what you're going to do?
What?
Before the show is over, I'm going to give you the names of 8 more comedy places. I'm telling you. I can't. Getting nuts, okay? I'll get that here. I'll run up and get that before the, and we'll do that before the end. But let's get back to this. Here's a good thing you can use, even though it's a little off topic. What happens after a joke? I mean, you put characters into a joke, you get to the punchline, bam! And then what happens to them? You know, it's like, there's got to be an afterthought. Or there's got to be something else that happens. Think of a joke, like, you know, like two guys, I don't know, think of a very common joke. Two guys walking to a bar.
Guys walking to the bar.
Yeah.
They say, ouch.
That's not a joke.
Uh-huh.
And then what happens?
They're sad. They say, ouch, because they walk into the bar.
Oh, that's it. Oh, yes, good.
Okay.
Now I got it. Two guys walk into a bar and say, ouch.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's what my father would say. And this is perfect. This is like almost philosophical thought from a two guys walk into a bar. Okay, what do we know? We don't know they're together. We know they're two guys walking into a bar, but we don't know they're together. And they walk into a bar, the same bar. How big is the bar? How could two guys walk into a bar at the same time? And they both say, ouch. Do they say it together? Do they hit the same time? And then what happens to these guys? They just go about their business after they walk into the bar. Do they get hurt? Does one of them get a concussion, have to go to the hospital? Does one fall on the other one? What happens to these fellows? Right? And what's this bar? Where is this bar? Is it just a bar in the middle? What city where people walk? Is it just a big bar? And people go, now you're going to go down to Main Street, make a left at 3rd. Don't watch it, though, because you'll run into the bar. A lot of people run into that bar. Yesterday, two men walked into a bar. And they said, ouch.
They both said, ouch. And did they say it at the same time? I don't know.
Did they fall down? We never saw those guys again. They didn't even live here. They came into town. You know what I mean? There's reams of material there. Think of another joke.
Another joke?
Yeah, think of another joke. We'll do that one here, too.
A classic joke, a horse walks in the bar, and the bartender says, why the long face?
Right, okay, a horse walks into a bar, now we're not into a bar, we're not literal, we're walking into a saloon, right? We're going to walk in a horse.
A horse is walking.
Now, a horse, and the bartender doesn't say, what the frick the horse doing here? Where's the horse come from? And it's like, get this horse out of my bar! There are no animals in here! No, he goes, why the long face? Okay, now, is he saying that because horses have long faces? Or, no, because the joke is the horses have long faces and a person has a long face when he feels sad.
So basically, either the bartender is very sarcastic or he's just a moron.
Beyond belief moron because he's going, what? And the horse, if he could talk, and I'm sure he can because he walked into a bar probably to have a drink. Why would he drink? Horses don't even drink. So now what happens after that? Then he goes, what? Is the horse a talking horse? What are you, some kind of smart ass? All horses have long faces. And he went, oh, I knew, and what? And the guy knows, doesn't know horses that have long faces? Or what? Does he say to him, you look sad. Oh, says the horse. And you've seen so many sad horses. What does a horse look like when he's not sad?
Maybe the bartender says, why the long face? And the horse says,
well, I just dropped my children off at the orphanage, and my wife divorced me yesterday after my grandma got run over by a bus.
Right. A horse has a story because a horse has a family. He did a grandma. Horses have family. Like, they personified. Now it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
And even in cartoons, things go on, okay? So what happens after a joke is you should have a panel. What happens after a joke? Mm-hmm. Tell the joke, and then everybody has to come up with something. You know what will happen now? What? Now they'll do like Key and Peele?
I love them.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say they stole, because we know this happens all the time. We talked about Seinfeld, who showed up on the Bill Maher show after I tweeted and did the thing about Italian ISIS. He showed up and did that joke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jerry Seinfeld did it. Key and Peele did a joke that I've done for years. What kind of dog when Bin Laden was alive? What kind of dog did Bin Laden have and all the Al-Qaeda guys have? What kind of dog did they have?
I don't know.
Terrorists. See, they dug the terrorists.
Right?
And then they did an entire routine on a guy who was, they were torturing a guy. And the guy was like, no, it's a terrier. Terrorists are dogs. And I'm going like, wow, yeah. Because people can think of jokes the same, simple jokes can be, so you can't like sue some. Otherwise, you realize what would be going on? This is like, I once did a blues singer who sued another guy for stealing a song. For God's sake, it's a blues song. There's three chords and they all sound alike. They just don't. How can you? That's my song. No, it's not. It's my song. That's my song. How's your song go? My song goes like this. Went down to Mississippi, found myself a gal. What's your song go? My song's like, I live in Alabama. Alabama's where I live. You see, you stole it from me. It's the same crap. Where are you going to sue them? You know? Same thing with jokes. True. People can hear jokes.
True. I came up with one this morning.
Of what? A blues song?
No. I wish.
What?
A new joke for my routine.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear a new joke for your routine. You want me to get applause?
Can you get it ready?
No, I don't have
it. I used to think that when I was younger, that chicken pot pie was a three-course meal.
Chicken, pot, and pie.
Boy, was I wrong.
Boy, were you, man. That's good. That's a good one. Chicken pot pie was the three course meal. That's good. Well, you know, a lot of jokes make up one set. My name is Frank Catola. My man's name is Don Zatello. I'm the Bard of Broadcasting, by the way. Here, no one. I don't think anybody who's done podcasts or anything. The Mark Marins, the Jeff Greenbergs, the Tom Greens, all these guys and whatever they would do, Adam Carolla's. I have them 2 hours a week. Most, 99.9% live. I'm applauding myself as I'm doing it. 10 frickin' years, and that's just on SRN Media Works. And I thank all the stations who continue to play this show. Now, why don't you do a couple of jokes? We're done with the topic anyway. Watch, and you know what you people do? Support. And then we have Kickstarter. We didn't even get into that, where people are trying to make movies and get money from people, okay? So look into the smaller things, the smaller movies. Look into them, support them, go to see them. I'm going to run upstairs and get my book, and we'll do some of those in the closing minutes. I'll give you some of these things. We'll have some fun and stay here. So Jeremy is going to tell you where he's going to be, and then we're going to add play. I don't know. Tell him whatever is going on.
Tell
him a few jokes.
Yeah, yeah. So next weekend I'll be at the Falls. And something I did want to mention is everybody should check out the film Director's Cut. This is a film that I am an executive producer on. It was written by the lovely Penn Jillette of the famous magician comedy duo Penn and Teller, from such shows as the current show Penn and Teller Fool Us and Penn and Teller's Bullshit. It was written by Penn. Penn stars in it. Directed by the wonderful Adam Rifkin, who's done so many great films like Look and Small Soldiers and hundreds of others. And
that's a Joe Dante movie. I knew Joe Dante.
Which one?
Small Soldiers. That's a Joe Dante movie. Directed that movie. Joe Dante used to be a member of the...
No, Adam Rifkin directed that movie.
Who?
Adam
really?
Rifkin.
I thought that was Joe Dante.
No.
Are you kidding me? What did Joe Dante have to do with that movie?
Maybe he was a writer.
He was a member of the original cast of Movies from Mars.
Okay.
And you're going, what's that? You remember that.
Yeah,
I told
you
about that, okay.
So it's called Director's Cut. It's in, I'm one of the executive producers along with Penn.
Oh, that's right.
I wanted to advertise that quick. This is our final week of primary photography. So we're finishing up the shooting at the end of this week, and then we'll go into post-production. So,
and the Hulk is not in it. There's no Hulk in that.
No Hulk in that one.
Okay.
Look it up, and I'm guessing it should be out maybe towards the end of the year, beginning of next year.
I thought Joe Dante has something. Oh, come on.
Are you looking it up?
I'm looking it up right now quickly, because I can't be that wrong.
Are you thinking of Toy Soldiers instead of Small Soldiers?
No, I know. Small Soldiers. Here, Kirsten Dunn and...
Adam Rifkin.
Yeah, well, I thought for sure...
Look, he...
I'm not disputing you. I'm just saying, how could I get this wrong? Joe Dante directed the movie. I'm right, you're wrong, and that's the name of the game. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to document
Adam Rifkin wrote it. He wrote it.
Okay, all right, okay.
He wrote it. Joe Dante directed.
All righty.
You know
I think we know the veteran. No, okay.
Who's Joe Dante?
I was sure. Who's Joe Dante now? He goes, who's Joe Dante?
Well, why are you bringing it up? And you're all like,
because I knew Joe Dante. He was a member of the original Movies from Mars crew.
Okay.
And back in when I was in Hollywood, he was one of the guys. He also did Inner Space.
Yeah.
He used to work with the. He was. He's another guy who came out of that Roger Corman group of people who came. A lot of people came out of that. Let's go over some of this here while we have some time.
Well, Adam Rifkin wrote it.
Okay, so thank
and
you.
And he's
very
directing
much.
Director's Cut.
Okay.
Great movie. Check it out. Also, once again, happy birthday to my mother.
With the weird name.
The weird name.
Here we go. Here's a couple of places where...
What a lovely evening.
Those of you out there, I want you to know something. Remember, and don't forget, meet at Daily Meds, M-E-D-Z. Go. Just follow it. Give us enough followers. Before you know it, we may sell a book or something. Who knows? We're not asking for anything.
At Daily Meds.
Just do it, okay? Every day, more people are doing it.
How many followers do you have?
Not a lot. We're, you know...
Wait. One more thing.
Go ahead. Go ahead, quick.
A friend of the show and a friend of Frank and I's, Alana Breisch.
Oh, Alana.
Is
it out? The CD?
No, not quite. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it is.
I talked to her on Facebook and said, when it comes out, we'll have to get you on Skype and you can come here and be, you know.
Good.
Well, can't come. She can't. She's in Pittsburgh.
Well, she can come.
But we're not going to pay for her and just stay anyway. Okay, let's go.
This is my house.
She might be interested in going to a number of these places.
Wait.
What more? Come on, I'm running out of time.
I'm saying that she's doing a show tomorrow, and if there's any listeners in the Pittsburgh area, they should go to
Elena Breach.
Yeah, go to Facebook and you can find the time and the venue of the show. And
she's a cool comedian.
She's an up and comer. Frank and I love her.
They don't say comedian anymore. They don't say comedian anymore women.
They're all comedians. She's funny and she's trying to get a good start. She just had released a CD and she'll be selling it there at the show. So go look it up and go if you're in the area. Okay, go, Frank.
And we'll try to get her on for October so she can promote it and you could buy more. No. Don't look at these. I want you to hear them so that you understand. Here are some places where if you people are smart at that, I'm gonna let this out now into the universe. And if you want to open a comedy place and call this, you can have the name. These are all free. And here we go. Comedy club, new comedy clubs. Homo sapien ha-has. I said, come on down to Homo sapien ha-has. This is where mad people, Homo sapien ha-has. Ha-has.
Okay.
I know what it means. Okay, quick. I'm going to hear another one here.
Okay.
How about this one? Grins. Grins.
Just grins?
Yeah.
One of the other ones we came up with was Big Grins.
Big Grins? Okay, so there. Okay, let's move on then. Funny People's Place. I might be on a funny people's place. That people's is, of course, plural. Funny People's Place. Okay? You don't like that one? Okay,
right.
We got another one. Wait till they get a load of me. Okay, here. The Clown Quarters.
That's the one.
You like that one?
Yeah.
We have the Clown Quarters. Ha ha! Paint your face, come on down. How about this one? I love this one. The Crack Up House. Instead of Crack House. Crack Up House.
Good one.
Yeah, Crack Up House. Okay, here's another one. Nudge, nudge, wink, winks. That one worked fine. You like that one a lot. Oh, down in Nudge, Nudge, Wink, Winks, Saturday night.
This Friday night, the lineup at Nudge, Nudge, Wink, Winks will be...
Okay, and then, wait, there's more. I got more here as we come up to the theme. Oh, gosh. Okay, how about this? The Hilarity Hospital. Well, I didn't think that would get that much of a laugh, but it did. Okay, here's an easy one. House of Humor. And there's no one. There must be one out there called House of Humor.
You think so?
You think? I think so.
Just like I think there's probably a Chuckle Hut somewhere.
How about Sid's Sarcastic Station?
Wow.
Sid's Sarcastic Station.
I'm playing there tonight.
Are you there? Okay, which was that place? Okay, just let that go there. How about Riddles? No one thought of Riddles.
Just Riddles?
Come on down to Riddles. How many people does it take to get ready? How many people does it take to change a light bulb at Riddles? How about this?
If Riddles is at the top of the station.
It's also... Riddles, that's right.
If Riddles is at the top of the hill, and Johnny is walking down the hill at 45 miles per hour.
It also serves delicious potato chips called Riddles. Okay, and how about the Cynics Society? The Cynics Society. Okay, two more. Jester's Court.
Oh,
that's a great one, right?
Yeah.
Jester's Court. Get it, everyone? Okay, you can take this. Go out, start your business now. Get your Kickstarters going. Get money. And here's the final one. The Chuckle Castle.
you changed it from the Chuckle Hut.
Yeah, the Chuckle Hut, the Chuckle Castle. It could be at the Chuckle Consortium. The Chuckle, it could just be a million different things. It'll just, yeah, exactly. We'll just keep going and going. Okay, we'll be back again.
Let me put this up.
Next time. No, I'll just do it with this. My name is Chuck Tolman. His name is Jones of Tyler. So, Jeremy, say goodbye, and then we'll say goodbye together.
Goodbye.
Says Jeremy Long, and he'll be at all those places as soon as they're built, constructed, and hiring. Good night.
Keep your eyes out.
Good night, Mrs. Ursula, wherever you may be tonight, tomorrow. Go to the blogs, go to Facebook, go to everywhere you go. Social market us, market media strength. Good night. I said to her, good night. Let's just go because we have nothing more to say.